The song that we just sang, Sing to Me of Heaven, is our theme for tonight. And right next to that song, we read the very next song, Won't It Be Wonderful There? And that is also a theme for us tonight. We want to talk about today about the glory of God, about the glory of heaven, and not the glory of man. We're here today to praise Him, the most holy God, the most high God, the most powerful God, to give Him all the honor and the glory that He alone deserves. And we want every soul to hear the words of God, the wonderful, marvelous works that we all depend upon. Every soul, the magnificence of His Word, the magnificence of His power, the magnificence of His glory, and the fact that He created all things through the agent of His Son, Jesus Christ. We think of His excellent mercy and His excellent grace. These are great things that we have in our possession. The salvation of the Lord through Jesus Christ our Lord, it's open to everyone, and so is heaven itself. And so I want everybody to know this night that one exciting word, which is heaven, something we hope for. We want to be lifted up together in glory because of our faith, because of the promises of God, all together with one common purpose, and that is to see heaven. And that happens assuming that we all do the will of God, that we all live righteous lives and we strive for perfection. And so, you know, the one thing that we notice in the Scriptures that the Bible, we read in Revelation 4, and you might want to turn there, Revelation chapter 4. And we'll be reading that here in a moment. But I just want to look at verse 1. Verse 1, John writes, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must shortly take place after this. Familiar words. But the thing I want to focus on is I looked, and behold, standing there was an open door. Just this past week, Sharon and I don't even remember where we heard it. It was a show or somebody talking, and the discussion had to do with fishing. I brought up the point that Calvin and Jake and I went to McDonald's, and we went fishing, and we actually caught one. Somebody said, you don't want to go fishing, you want to go catching. And I can relate to that. I'm the guy that can stand there and fish for an hour and a half, 2 hours, three, four, five, six, seven, 8 hours and never catch anything and be perfectly happy. I'm the guy that says, one more cast, Sharon, just one more cast. In Revelation 4, we see an open door, not a closed door, followed by an invitation. Come up here, he says, and I will show you some things. So in this little bit of time, we want a place, talk about a place we all want to be in, and that place, of course, is called heaven. I want to see heaven. I pray that you also want to see heaven because the alternative isn't good. And so, but there are a lot of places in the Bible that we can see a glimpse of heaven. And that's what we want to look at a few of those today. And we also want to put those in contrast with a lot of books written by men, claims made by people that are not valid images or experiences of heaven. We're not here to see a funeral, right? We're not here to see the grave, but we're here because we want to see heaven. We want to see the face of God. And that's what it's really all about. I think of these moments that I call them wow moments, incredible wow moments, right? Seeing a heart transplant, incredible thing. I've seen that on video. Watching the first man walk on the moon, I was there. I was alive back then when that happened. Those people that discovered the Titanic, that was a wow moment. Somebody being baptized is a wow moment. And of course, having a child is a wow moment. And those wows, there are many different wow moments. You know, playing in the Cleveland Orchestra, which is something I was able to do in high school, that was a wow moment for me, right? Maybe you hit a hole in one in golf. Maybe you were the one that played a sport and you scored that last point in the last few seconds to win the game. All those things could be described as wow moments. None of those compare to what we would be saying when that door is open before us and we pass through and we see heaven. The words wow, they just can't possibly amplify enough that image. So the greatest wow moment, of course, other than being in heaven for us on earth, is just being given a glimpse of what it's going to be like, what we see through that open door. You can imagine, you walk down a hallway, and at the end of that hallway is this door, and the door has a label, and it says heaven, and it's open. I'm going to head straight for that door. No left, no right, right straight to that door. Right? And we're reminded when we think about this, Paul wrote, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I emphasize that word eagerly because I'm 72, older than some, younger than others, and that door is getting closer and closer and closer. My citizenship is in heaven. Peter wrote, we're just sojourners and pilgrims in this land, right? And we think of the words of that song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And again, the more we tune ourselves to the Spirit of God, the more we become more and more Christ-like, the less and less and less we want to be in this world. And that should excite us. This world is not my home. And we sing many wonderful songs about heaven. On Jordan's stormy bank, heaven holds all to me. Won't it be wonderful there? Sing to me of heaven. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Home of the soul, just over in glory land, and the sweet by and by. Those are songs that uplift us, but they focus our attention on the idea of heaven, of Zion, marching on to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. All these songs, they just come into our hearts and enlarge our heart. Open your Bibles then, or if you haven't already done so, to Revelation chapter 4. There's only 11 verses, and we're going to read them. Revelation chapter 4. Again, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set before me, and the one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Eight of the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest. They do not rest day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by You they all exist and were created." I saw in, well, next chapter. So there we have chapter 4. What an image we get if we read that, think about it, meditate on it. Just imagine John who's seeing all these things in real time. Won't it be wonderful there? One word. Wow. What an amazing thing. The thought of heaven motivates me. I'm hoping that it motivates you. Right? We just think we're here, but we're getting out of here someday. Heaven is our hope. Jesus, our author, is the anchor of our soul in heaven. And all of that should be reminding us that our home is, the home of our soul is not this world. The home of our soul is what we will experience after this life is over. Right? The world is not the best place. There's something far better to come. So the best is yet to come. And we know that it's real. We realize from, just from the words of Luke, right? I mean, there's a story that goes with this that I read, and it's a story about a funeral. In a sad state, the family's there, the son gets up from the very back and walks down the aisle to the coffin where his mother laid. And he took a spoon out of his pocket and he placed it into the mother's hands just before they closed the coffin lid. And they asked him, "Why did you put that there?" And he said that his mother would always tell them to hold on to your spoon after dinner because the best is yet to come. Right? Probably pecan pie, that would be best to me. The best is yet to come. And so we're holding on to this life because the best is yet to come. Things you will not say when you get to heaven. Right? You'll not say, "Well, this is pretty good. I thought it would be bigger." Well, you know, when you get to heaven, you'll say, "Wow, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Right? Look at what God has done for me. In Luke chapter 10 at verse 20, we read the words that Luke wrote. That the people rejoice. Jesus is coming. His disciples had been sent out. They come back. They're rejoicing because people, the spirits obey them. And Jesus says, you know, "Rejoice because your name is written in heaven." Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. That's the reason we rejoice. Heaven's a real place. We know that because Jesus said so. And John, of course, confirmed it. Look. Behold, a door standing open. And notice he says, "I saw." Revelation 5, I began to read that, John begins with, "I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose it? Chapter 6 and verse 1, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice that thundered, come and see. And even in the next verse, he says, I looked. And so John is there, he's not being told about heaven, he's seeing heaven. He's seeing some marvelous, amazing things. I saw the right hand of him on the throne. I saw that strong angel, and I saw when the Lamb opened the seal. Heaven is for real. You don't just want to ignore this. You don't want to miss it. So we want to talk briefly about what some people have said about heaven, because it's so important. We stressed it this morning. We stress it always. This is the source of truth, the objective truth. So here we have a book. It's called Heaven is for Real. It's a four-year-old boy, right? He was in an accident. They took him to an emergency room March 5th, 2003. And the book claims that he went to heaven for 3 days. He said that he saw a halo. He sat on Jesus' lap and there was a halo around him. He saw a rainbow-colored horse. And the halo didn't fit real well. That's what he says in the book. He said the Holy Spirit was kind of blue-looking. Can't read that in here. And he's not the only one that wrote books. This book was on the bestseller list, by the way. 8 million copies were sold. And there are a tremendous number of people who read books like this and actually believe what they're reading. There's a long list of books. There are so many that it boggles the mind. Go into any, quote, Christian bookstore and you'll find a whole complete bookshelves full of these books. Fantastic portrayals. Deceptive images of what heaven was like. A book called 99 Minutes in Heaven by a fellow named Don Piper, who had a car hit by a truck driver and he died. And he tells what songs he hears in heaven, the people he met in heaven. He tells of Jesus who would come back in his lifetime. Jesus told him, I will come back in your lifetime. That was in 2004. He could still be alive, but that was a long time ago. Right? The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven is another book. He said, I met 150 angels. I saw green demons with long fingernails. Didn't make sense to me. All these books, they give us a mixed message here too, right? Many books. The list just goes on and on and on. Publishers on and on and on. They're making a lot of money off of these books. But there's only one book that really matters, and we know that. That book is called the Bible. God's book. God's account of what heaven is like. You know, when a judge... There's a situation where something happens and there are two witnesses and the judge will take the witnesses one at a time or separately and ask, what did you see? What did you see? Over here, what did you see? What did you see? And he compares what they say, and if they all agree on what happened, then it's reasonable for the judge to make an accurate judgment that they're telling the truth. But if he gets two people and two people are telling them different things, then he realizes there's no way to accurately know the truth. What's going on? Right? So we note two things, especially about all of these books. One, if all these people went to heaven and there's only one heaven, then why do they all see different things? None of the books match. You'd think if they went to the one heaven, the only heaven, the heaven that's described by John and other places in the Bible, they would all be telling us that they saw the same kinds of things. Something's wrong. Their stories don't match up. They don't harmonize. Something's wrong. Secondly, all of their stories have very, very little emphasis, they have very little emphasis on God. When we read this in Revelation, the emphasis is on God. The one who's holy, holy, holy. The one who sits on the throne. The Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Their emphasis was on green demons with green fingernails. And one person talked about a unicorn with multiple colors. Why would they not speak of God? Heaven, after all, well, it's God's home. You'd think He'd be there. Now maybe all these people were in a different heaven, a different place. Maybe all these people were in the heaven of Baal. You remember back in 1 Kings 18 when the people were calling on Baal to save them, to burn up the altar, and Elijah says, oh, he must have been on a journey. Right? He must be sleeping. Maybe they were in that heaven. But they certainly weren't in the heaven of the Bible. How can we talk about God's home and not see God? Right? We think about people who saw Isaiah 6 and 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne. That's what he said he saw. Ezekiel refers to a man in the appearance of a man. He says, in the likeness of the throne was a likeness with me, with the appearance of a man high above it. Giving an indication of something marvelous and powerful about this so-called man. Third, Revelation 4, 3 and 2. I looked, he says, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Nobody else mentioned the door. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Nobody else mentioned that one. Nobody mentions the throne in all these books that I've, you know, you have these ways to look them up on the internet. John saw the one who sat on the throne. That's good. Biblical examples, they all agree. Ezekiel agrees with John. Ezekiel agrees with Isaiah. They saw God. They saw the one sitting on the throne. They saw the majesties of heaven intertwined and harmonized and agreeing with one another. All these books that people write, they're mismatched. Stories. Fantastic imaginations. And, quite frankly, when somebody dies, right, there's a clinical death and there's a spiritual death. They're two different things. If my spirit leaves the body, I'm dead, and I don't come back unless the Lord's hand's involved. But I can clinically be dead and be brought back with resuscitation. It's not the same thing. Seeing heaven is seeing God. That's what it's really all about. Not one example of one coming back from the dead tells what they saw. John chapter 11. Lazarus raised from the grave. There's no account of Lazarus saying, let me tell you what I saw in heaven. I think if there was, he would have said something. Jairus's daughter brought back to life. Everybody's mocking Jesus. Jesus says she's not dead, she's just asleep, and takes Peter, James, and John up into the room along with her parents, and he tells her to arise, and she arises from the dead. There's no record of her saying anything at all about what she saw. Eutychus, who fell out of that third story window, Paul fell on him. He was dead. Paul falls on him and said, you know, don't fear. His life is in him. He came back. Nobody records anything that he said. Think about that. All these people in the world who don't actually know God have all these fantastic stories and they don't agree. Paul, he didn't say things that he felt. He talks about things he saw, things that he heard. John, not what I felt, but what I saw, what I heard. Isaiah, Ezekiel, what I saw, what I heard. Amazing. Paul was stoned to death. You know, we think about this. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Faith that we walk by is in God's Word. That's what faith is. Peter wrote this. He said, speaking of Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not seem yet believing, you rejoice with inexpressible joy, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. We haven't seen Jesus. And yet, we believe. Because we walk by faith. The faith that we read about here in the Scripture that tells us who Jesus was, what He did, and what He taught. We walk by faith knowing that Peter walked on water with Jesus. We walk by faith knowing that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We walk by faith knowing that Jesus fed the 5,000. We know that Jesus healed the blind, the lame, and the sick. We have faith because of the witnesses that agree. From Genesis to Revelation, we have faith because the books agree. The 66 books and the 40 different authors written over a period of 1,500 years, they agree. That's why we walk by faith. And we don't want to overlook another important point. When somebody's brought back from the dead, it's to prove that Jesus was who He was. When Jesus raised Lazarus, it was to prove His deity, His power over life and death. And the apostles, when they did miracles such as, it was to prove that Jesus was who He said He was. Nobody raised anybody from the dead and said, it's all about Me. It was all about Jesus. Why wouldn't they just take the credit? Because they knew their Lord, who died for them. The Bible all comes back to prove that Jesus was the great I Am. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, in My Father's house are many mansions. That word mansions really means it's the word Monet in Greek. It sounds like the painter Monet. But it really means rooms. There are many rooms in heaven, dwelling places for the saints that will be there. Jesus made that promise. The Scriptures tell us to hear Jesus. We want to hear Jesus. We want to hear His apostles that are writing by inspiration. We don't need all these other books. The apostles, right? Not through little boys who claim to have an experience, not through men who claim to have visions, not through the many books that are written by the many men and women who make great claims. We hear Jesus, the Word of God, breathed out by God. And heaven, of course, is a real place. There's nothing, no place that we can compare anything at all like the beauty of heaven. There's no other place on earth And we can talk about the streets of gold and the crystal seas and the river of life and this, how there was no need for a sun or moon because God is the light that brings forth. We can talk about the idea that there's no terrorists, no crime, no pollution, no things that keep you up all night and make you worry. There's no problems, no troublers. The wicked are gone. There is nothing like that. All you find there is the faithful, righteous in Christ Jesus. No place can compare. Heaven isn't a fantasy land either. It's not like Disneyland where you go in and enjoy it and then you go home back to the real life. It's not fantasy. It's a reality. It's not like having little puppies and kittens. They die. No place, by the way, lasts like heaven. Think about that. Things don't break down in heaven. Nothing gets old in heaven. We don't need to update or refresh our computers in heaven. We don't need to get new operating systems or any of those things that I hate. Your pipes don't leak. Your paint doesn't peel. Nothing in heaven degrades. Nothing. Heaven is God's house. Heaven is pure. It's eternal. It's about being with the Father, our Creator, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. It's like a woman that marries a man, and all she's thinking about all day long is what kind of china she's going to get. Well, I'm marrying this guy. I got to get a great ring and a bunch of brand new china, brand new silverware. She's missing the point. Heaven's not about the things. Heaven's all about God. The purity of God. It's all about God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. Again, the words, I saw. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And it's eternal. It's all about God. No separations, no Gentiles, Jews, no man, woman, no priest, no holy, temple. It's all about God. And we'll all be together there. It's really important to us. Heaven is for you. John 14, again, Jesus says in verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be also. That's heaven. And you notice how many times Jesus says you. Heaven is for you. God wants you. We all make mistakes. We all sin and fall short. None of us are perfect. But through the blood of Christ, we can be made perfect. And we can have that eternal home in heaven. God wants you in heaven. He wants all of us in heaven. The psalmist, he wrote, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Can you see yourself in heaven? If you are, keep that track going. Because in heaven you will see the face of God. Heaven's the goal. It's a place we want to be. That is what drives our faith. Can you see yourself in heaven? The real place. Not a book fantasy, but the heaven that God set up. The heaven that was Jesus went to prepare for us. The heaven that we hear out of the God-breathed book. That's what we need to believe. That's what we need to see. That's what we need to strive for. All you have to do is follow Jesus. He leads the way. Think about that. Think about that. Following Jesus is a really easy thing. You just read the book. As we mentioned this morning, you read the book, the truth is there. You come up to the truth and you have a choice to make. You either go right to heaven or left to hell. The choice is yours. If you have a need this day, if you have not obeyed the gospel, please do so as we stand and as we sing.